Here's to the best spring ever in this season's must-have shoes. Find all the styles you need from brands you love at amazing prices right now at DSW. Update your closet with colorful sandals made for sunny days, fresh sneakers perfect for spring looks, and sporty soles ready for new adventures. Whatever you're up to this spring, DSW has the exact right pair for the occasion. Shop must-have spring shoes at your DSW store and DSW.com.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
If you have your own story of being in a cult or a high control group, or if you've had an experience with manipulation or abuse of power you'd like to share, leave us a message on our hotline number at 513-900-2955.
Or shoot us an email at trustmepod@gmail.com.
Trust me.
Dude, you trust me.
Trust me. I'm like a smart person.
Yeah, I've never lied to you. I never have lied to you.
You think that one person has all the answers?
Don't!
Welcome to Trust Me, the podcast about cults, extreme belief, and the abuse of power from two mental gymnasts who've actually experienced it. I am Lola Blanc.
And I am Megan Elizabeth.
And this week is part 2 of our interview with mentalist and magician Banachek. Today we're going to talk about how he exposed a scam by the televangelist and debunked faith healer Peter Popoff in the 80s, why he fights against pseudoscience, and the difference between critical thinking and skepticism, and why choosing the former is so important.
Plus, he performs a little mentalism trick on us.
That he does. And it's fun. And God, I don't know why I have this lingering feeling like there's something in this episode that I didn't say. But you know what? Maybe I said it all. Maybe embracing that uncertainty is what I need to do.
Is that what you're learning in your OCD therapy?
Yes.
Me
Are
too.
You learning that?
So I've copied Lola off of 2 therapist places now. We have the same guy who does our neurofeedback.
I don't do that anymore.
Yeah, I still sometimes do. He misses you. But then I also went to the same OCD center as you, and we do have different therapists for that. So
yes, and how's yours going?
I love it. I mean, I just repeat to myself all the time, I don't know, and that's okay. Sometimes it helps, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, I'm working on the uncertainty. It turns out I'm a total and complete control freak.
Weird.
I know, you would never know, right?
I meant that more as like not an insult to your personality and more a look back at your life and why that might be.
Thank you. But also it is true about my personality. So, you know, whatever. I'm learning to embrace the things being imperfect and not being in my control.
She's literally
okay.
Breaking out in hives right now, you guys.
I love uncertainty. What are you talking about? Okay. All right, Megan, what's your cultiest thing? Give it to me.
All right. So my cultiest thing is the Venue Church with Pastor Tavner Smith is in the news this week. It's in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And this dickhead man, this pastor, he started it in the back of a Sam's Club, which for people in the Midwest, that's like our Costco back in the 90s.
Yeah.
And it grew. I think he started it in 2012, but it's already considered a mega church at this point. He will preach and call people out by name who haven't been giving enough money.
Oh,
psychopath, right?
Oh my God.
So this is how you know these people are in a cult. A big group of them went out and then stopped by his house without telling him they were coming. Like, that's a warning sign. Who at this day and age would go to somebody
like the person who wasn't paying enough money, you mean?
No, just like a group of people went out and they're like, let's go say hi to the pastor.
Oh, to the pastor.
Yeah,
okay.
You know, let's go to his house. That's a culty thing to do. Nobody even calls anyone anymore, much less goes to their house.
Well, in small towns, that happens in my mom's town.
Well, let's just say he wasn't expecting it because he was there in his boxers with one of the women, a very pretty woman who works in his church. who was just in a towel. And these people found them, and you might think, oh, well, they're having an affair. They're not having an affair. He explained to them he had just been cooking chili and hot dogs, and they both got some sauce on them. So they knew it was weird and like, ugh, but they were just like, we have to take off our clothes. So that's what's going on.
That makes sense. Yeah. I mean, that sounds like a really, like, honestly, that could happen to anyone.
Mm-hmm. So his life is falling apart. And to be totally honest, I'm here for it. And fuck him.
Fuck him. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Love Tavner Smith. Isn't it great when they get caught? It's so fun.
Oh, it's so fun. It's like they're doing it on purpose just to bring us joy. I'm sure subconsciously they are sabotaging themselves and doing just that.
Maybe.
I mean, so many of them get caught.
But how many of them aren't getting caught, right? Like, so many more of them are probably not getting caught.
That's true. What's the cultiest thing that happened to you this week, Lila?
Okay, I fell for a phone scam.
Okay, I'm embarrassed. What?
Okay, I didn't do it. I didn't, like, go through with it. But here's the thing. These fuckers found me on Twitter.
Okay.
I tweeted at this, like, art print company because I had been trying to return this fucking thing and they were ignoring me and kept giving me the runaround. So I tweeted at them being like, your customer service is bad. And I get a call from this, like, British man who's like, I see that you said that our customer service was bad. And in my head, I'm thinking, oh, they just don't want to be embarrassed on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, can you tell us about that? And I was like, yeah, they've been giving me the runaround, whatever. I just want to return this thing. Like, let me return it. And he's like, totally understand. We have people running our email who are just like a third party contracted, whatever. They kind of suck. We're going to fire them. What? So like, I'll just take care of this for you right now. I'm like, oh, thank God. And he's like, okay, I'm going to send you the form to start the return. I'm like, great. Oh, but it's not in my email, though. I don't see it. He's like, check your spam. I'm like, no, it's not there. He's like, huh, okay, that's weird. I'll send it again. You can just go directly to this link instead.
Oh, my God.
And it sounded fishy, so I Googled it, and I went there, and it for sure was this scammy-ass website just trying to get you to put your information in. And I was like, oh, my God. I can't believe I fell for that. And he was like, what are you talking about, Lola? That's really good. Like, you almost got me. And he's like, no, what are you talking about? He starts getting really, really flustered. And I'm like, can you tell me what the art was that I purchased? Can you tell me what the design was? Mm. And he is like, yeah, let me pull it up right now. I'm pulling it up. And I was like, oh, I can't believe it. And he was like, no, Lola, come on. And I just start laughing and I hang up on him, and then he calls me back immediately, and I don't answer. But wow, he got me from Twitter, which, by the way,
how is your phone number connected to that?
Dude, I took my phone number down from all the websites. I just had to complain because it turns out one still had me up there, so I just had them take it down again. But that fucker just, like, Googled me, found my real name, found my phone number that way. God, I hope I'm not giving anyone ideas here. But, like, what a fucking scam. People must fall for that all the time.
Like, I think instead of giving people ideas, you're warning people that this could happen, because I would be like, do social security number, of course. Here's my pet's birth date.
The best part was how, like, desperate he got for me to not hang up. Like, he was trying. He was like, no, wait, don't hang up on me.
I hate it. I hate him. Nope. Mm-mm.
Also, Americans love English accents. They just do.
They know. He's not even from England. Of course he's faking it.
Just because he's like, this will make me sound more trustworthy.
That's Lola, don't hang up, Lola.
It's not a scam, I promise.
I can't do accents, but I do have an Irish roommate. He's always like, what the cunt's going on in here?
That is not how he sounds. That is not it at all. That is not Irish in any way.
All right.
Fortunately, I know I can't do an Irish accent, so I'm not even going to try.
Well, listen, I went for it. Sometimes you just have to go for things, okay? But yeah, the British accent faked. That was faked.
Megan, I saw that you tweeted at us, and yeah. I really want to, I'm so sorry. I want to help you with that. Oh God, it sucks. It sucks. It sucks. Okay. I tried.
That's what you tried. You know what? But you made a good point. The cult of the English accent.
Oh, we love the Brits. We really do.
That was my first thing. That's not real. He's faking it. A British man would never be wasting his time doing that. Why would I think that? British men are just as idiotic as men anywhere else in the world.
They're just men.
They just sound formal.
They just sound like Hugh Grant, who you inherently trust.
Fuck you, Hugh Grant. Come on. Anyway, let's get into the episode, Lola. Let's give the people...
Let's do it.
Some fucking magic.
What they want. Let's give them what let's they want, it. Which is to stop talking. Okay.
Enjoy.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
What is the modern day version of the spoon bending, would you say? Or is there one where people now in the culture are like, oh, wow, that person is a psychic who I should trust? Have you seen
that? Well, I think it's the new mediums, right? I think that's, I mean, but mediums have been around and there's been different incarnations of them. It's that medium that you see on TV now, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's who it is. It, you know, it's the Long Island Mystic. It's all that group of people. Those are the ones that are really pushing it and putting it out there. And every TV station, every network that you go on, they have some form of looking for ghosts or, you know, psychic powers. You know, there was that horrific show where kids were, you know, seeing ghosts. And you had a psychologist on there who was just feeding into that, right? Sitting on the, you know, sitting with these kids that have been abused already, sitting on a bed with the kids, you know, touching. It was just horrific. Like I cringed when I actually watched that show because they were feeding into, yes, that could be a demon that's out there after this kid. And I just kept thinking about what kind of damage they were doing to those kids. But I really think it's the medium that's there. But I want to go back to something you said earlier because years ago, Randy, long after Project Alpha, he came to Houston, Texas, and he told me, he said he's writing some articles, and I think it was like either Penthouse or something like that, on evangelists and, you know, the tricks and things that they use. And he was going to go see an evangelist in Houston, Texas, and wanted to know if I wanted to come along. So I said, yes, of course. And I got there, and I'm sitting there, and there's about 10,000 people in this auditorium. I mean, they attract a lot of people. And the evangelist comes out on stage, and his name was Peter Popoff. So Peter Popoff comes out. He said he's getting the word of God. And this is his convincer, right? He has direct communication with God. Mrs. Davis, where are you? You're wearing a green sweater in the back. God's telling me. God tells me your husband's name is this. God tells me your address is this. God tells me that your doctor says that this is your ailment. Come down here. I'm going to heal you. God's going to heal you. And he didn't bring people down. And as I'm watching this, it's extremely emotional to me even because I'm seeing kids thinking they're healed of things. And I'm not thinking of it even from that side. I got caught up in the moment, knowing that this wasn't real. I'm still getting teary-eyed and getting caught up in it. And there came a point when Popoff, because he's giving out so much information about so many people, that he asked for people to collect money for him. I said, I know what I need to do, Randy, because Randy was with me, of course. So I go down, I get a bucket, I'm walking around the auditorium, and I'm collecting money for him. And I had to have in my bucket alone at least $10,000 to $12,000 in that bucket.
Unreal.
I walk down, and you got 15 buckets going around down here, right? Wow. Put that out. Now we go around the room again, and we're getting sealed offerings. And this is checks and things like that. So we come down, and then we go around again. Anything you can give, jewelry, whatever it might be. So we're going up, we're getting diamonds, we're getting watches, we're getting things. Those get poured. And as I'm down there, I'm looking up and I notice that Popoff doesn't have an ear hole. He's got a piece of plastic in there. So I come back to Randy. I said, look, somebody's communicating with him. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it's for, but I suspect he's not using mnemonics because Randy at first thought he was using mnemonics. Mnemonics are memory systems you use to memorize information. But I use mnemonics. Mnemonics, you get a lot of information about a few things or a little information about a lot, but not a lot of information about a lot of things. So very shortly after that, you know, I convinced Randy, Popoff was in California and he was doing another revival. And Randy got a friend of his from MIT to come in with a scanner. And that person scanned every single frequency in the auditorium ahead of time. And it was to save us time. any new frequencies that would pop up, we would find them very quickly. And sure enough, you have the auditorium, you have the preacher's prior, and then pop-off comes out. Up pops a brand new frequency at 39.17 megahertz. It's a woman, and it sounds a lot like Peter Popoff's wife, Elizabeth.
Wow.
Which is quite a coincidence that God would sound like his wife, right? So we started recording these things, and some of them were pretty nasty. There were things like, yeah, you know, there's that big black N-word, and they actually said the word in the back in a yellow sweater, you know. Oh, that lady has, and they would laugh through all of this. They would say things like, oh, that lady has, she's got cancer in her breast. She's got knots in her breast. Make her stand up. Make her run. Go ahead and make her run and shake those titties, you know, things like this. Just horrific things, making fun of all these people. And it was just terrible. So what we did was we got all that. And then we had a few people dress up and make themselves readily available. And they got healed of things. In fact, some people got healed of things they couldn't possibly have. Don Henvick, who shaved his head, put on a wig and put on a woman's dress, got healed of ovarian cancer, which is absolutely impossible. And then what we did was we took it on The Tonight Show. And now Popoff would tape every one of his appearances for his own TV show. He was on over 40 TV stations, hundreds of radio stations at the time. His weekly budget, I think, was like $550,000 at the time. And so he would edit his tapes and put them up there. So what we did was we took those tapes and we took the sections where he was healing out people. And we went on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. It's a while back now. Showed the video. And we showed the video, the unedited video, and then we showed the edited video, which was the one that actually had Mrs. Popoff's voice on there. Wow. And Johnny Carson, who never edited, you know, his TV shows, hated to edit them. They had to edit a section out of them because when he saw it, he went, oh, shit, just like that.
Wow.
Because it's just, do they know about that? And we're like, no, they don't know about it. Now, here's the interesting thing. You would think that Popoff would have died away immediately, right? Mm-hmm. But it literally took almost a year before Popoff disappeared for a while. Popoff is back bigger than ever right now.
Really?
He's still doing a lot of the things he used to do, but he's not doing anything that he can actually be caught in. Like the Catherine Coleman wheelchair trick, which goes back to an evangelist female by the name of Catherine Coleman. This is, Popoff had ways of getting this information from people. Sometimes his wife would come out ahead of time and just meet people because people get to these things hours ahead of time and said, hi, I'm Mrs. Popoff. What's your name? Where are you from? Who's your doctor? What's wrong with you? And then she'd go write it down on a card. So that was one way they got the information. But the Coleman trick is an interesting one because what happens is they wait for somebody coming in early with a cane. They're kind of limping. They walk up to them. They say, you know what? You look like you're uncomfortable. I can put you in a wheelchair and put you right up front if you want. Now, who's going to say no to being put up front? As they're walking them, they're asking them questions. Oh, where are you from? Who's your doctor? Oh, really? What's wrong? Well, I hope Mr. Popoff gets to you tonight. Now, Popoff can come out on stage later on and goes, Mr. Davis, right over here in the wheelchair. Yes, we never met before, have we? They've never met before, right? And he says, God says you can't walk. Now, the guy thinking this is a man of God, right? He could never be wrong. So what he must mean, I'll never be able to walk properly again.
Right.
He says, I say you can. God says you can. And keep in mind, at this point, the guy's got the adrenaline flowing through his body. I mean, he's got 10,000 eyes on him, right? He stands up. He's feeling better than he's felt in a long time. The endorphins are hitting as well, the pleasure centers. So he stands up. You've got the first miracle. He says, take a couple of steps. You got the second miracle.
Wow.
Popoff then sits in the wheelchair, says, go to the back of the wheelchair, push me. And he pushes him. Now he's got a walker to hold on to, right? He just has to keep up with it. And the greatest part of all is he gets out, takes the wheelchair back to where it was originally. And he said, that's your wheelchair, right? Meaning like if you're in that seat right now and you get up and I say, is that your seat?
Right.
You're going to say yes.
Right.
Doesn't mean it's your seat that you're going to take home with you.
Right,
but it's
right.
Where you're sitting. So everybody thinks it's that guy's wheelchair. So Popoff was doing a lot of those tricks, but now he's just on there saying somebody has cancer, somebody has a migraine, God's going to heal you.
Yeah, I remember seeing a PBS documentary. I feel like I've referenced this 5,000 times on the show, but about the People's Temple, and Jim Jones had a wheelchair trick. And I always thought that it just must have been somebody who was in on it. But that is such an interesting insight into how they're manipulating even the person who's in the wheelchair at that time. I never realized that. That's
I do know that Jim Jones did use Stooges for some of his stuff, but not for the wheelchair. There's also another one where one leg grows longer. That's an old magic trick that goes way back as well. And most of the evangelists were using that at one time. But they've learned from Popoff, don't use things you can actually get caught. It's just as easy to sit there and say, hey, somebody has a headache, somebody has cancer. You know, I'm going to pray over you. I have your letters right here, even if the letter isn't there. Now, keep in mind, Popoff made most of his money not doing those kind of things. He had mail out. So if you came, you signed up, right? People would sign up and they would send you letters. And in that letter, you'd either get a felt heart that you had to wear, an outline of a foot to wear in your shoe. And, you know, you could buy healing water. Right now, he's selling water from a stream in Chernobyl. And when people drank it, you know, it cured them of radiation poisoning, is what he says, which goes back to another thing he used to do with Jerusalem, same kind of thing with the water. But the idea was you would wear this and then you would wrap up the amount of money you could put in there, keeping in mind that whatever you give, you're definitely going to get back tenfold. I promise you, he would say. And so people would put their life savings and wrap it up and send it up to Popoff and would have nothing. It's despicable.
Right. Where is the line between benign deception and harmful deception in your view? Is it just telling people that you're deceiving them, basically?
Do you mean if I tell people that I'm deceiving them, it's okay?
Yeah.
Is that what you're asking? I think it depends, right? It depends what where you're going with that. If I'm telling you I'm deceiving you to show you that you can actually be deceived and learn from this, that is one thing. But quite often people will tell you that they're deceiving you. It's, you know, I listened to your podcast about narcissists, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes people will use things like that to gain your confidence so they can deceive you in other ways. Mm-hmm. So just because somebody tells you they're being nice to you doesn't mean that they are being nice to you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's a very difficult question to answer. When we came out after Project Alpha and explained that everything we had done was an illusion, there were a few scientists that came out and said, is it right to deceive scientists in the name of science? Which is an interesting question, right? My answer to that was really what we did was we brought parapsychology into that century. We took it from the dark ages and brought it back into that century because if parapsychology, if any psychic ability is real, it should be able to hold up under that kind of scrutiny, just like any other thing in the world, right? It should be able to hold up. And scientists have been lamenting for years there was no evidence of ESP. And they had even said, look, if you can introduce a magician to a laboratory, go ahead and do it. You won't be able to do it. And I think they thought that because they had PhDs and they thought they were too smart to be fooled. Keep in mind that Randy didn't have a PhD, but Randy consistently sent them letters explaining how we could have possibly been doing the tricks. And the funny thing is they never caught on to how did Randy know the experiments we were actually performing. They never caught on to that. I always found that really interesting. And at the very end, after we came out in the Time Life building and explained everything was an illusion, they wouldn't answer their phone for anybody that was calling them until they got a hold of me and Mike. And they called me and they said, is this true? And I didn't answer right away because I wanted to find out what their answer would be. And I said to them, I said, what do you think? And they said, there is no way this can be real. It can't be true that you were tricking us. And I said, unfortunately, it was true because, and it was tough for us. It was really, really tough because I really liked these people. These were really good people. But again, having said that, there was so much money being spent on pseudoscience that could be spent on the real science.
Right. Yeah, that's so hard because my instinct with that is to say like, well, that brought science forward, so that mattered and that was important. But in any other context, I would be like, but deceiving people is wrong. You're emotionally harming people. It's never a good idea to prioritize science over humans. But in this case, like, they didn't like lose any money over it individually, right?
It's an interesting thing because if you're helping to promote the belief in these things, which many of those scientists were because they weren't using proper scientists, science, like the ones that worked with the scientists that worked with Uri Geller. You know, they're promoting pseudoscience is what they're doing. And that is extremely harmful to the masses.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it becomes this thing of you take this one little area for the good of the greater good.
Right.
And I feel like that's kind of what we were doing at the time. We were trying to correct a mistake and telling them. And, you know, it's like when like I said earlier, if I talk to somebody who feels they've had a genuine psychic experience, right, they've gone to a psychic and they feel the psychic is real. If I just attack that, they're not going to listen. But if I can get them to feel the same experience, now they might listen a little bit.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
Have you had experiences in your life that are completely unexplainable? Like, I remember having a dream about something that happened beat for beat. Has that happened? Anything like that ever happened to you?
Well, with the amount of data that hits you every single day of your life,
I get it.
It would be extremely weird if it never happened to
you,
right? I mean, that would be psychic in itself if you never had a coincidence happen in your life. Yeah, I've had a lot of things like that, and most of them I can figure out, but not all of them I can. And that's the hard bit when somebody gives you an anecdotal story, right? You're not there. You don't have all the facts. Mm. It's really hard. And just because I can't give them the answer, they go, oh, that must be real. No, it doesn't mean that. It just means I don't have all the facts, or even they don't have all the facts. Years ago, my ex-wife and I were driving in Houston, Texas, and this is an example. And as we're going down the road, Westheimer in Houston, Texas, we're going down the road, and I say, I wonder how my friend David is doing. And I hadn't thought about David for probably about 2 years. And she went, oh, my God, I haven't thought about him forever, but I was just thinking about him. Mm-hmm. And I started thinking about it. I could have taken that we had a psychic connection in that moment. But I thought about it and I said, it hit me. I said, do you remember when we were passing the Galleria? Mm-hmm. She said, well, yeah, you know, it's on the same road. We passed it. I said, do you remember the traffic light there? She goes, well, kind of. I go, do you remember the truck that was next to us? She goes, I said, a truck that looked like David. She went, oh, my God, yes. Right. And that's what triggered that thought until we were much further down the road. And so at that moment, we thought we were thinking about it at the exact same time. But that's what had actually triggered that thought. Right. It's like the old lady who comes home, you know, and she won't enter her house because she's scared to death. And she calls the cops. She said, I just had a premonition. And they go in and her house has been broken into. But it's not till the next morning that she realizes that the curtains were open when she came home and they're usually closed. But it's the next day she realizes that. But in that moment, she might have thought she had a psychic experience. So a lot of these things are like intuitive, and there are things that we don't fully understand. And a lot of it is just coincidence.
Right. So do you believe in like a higher power, things we don't understand?
Depends what you mean by that. If you're asking, do I believe in God, per se, as what most people think God is? No. Do I think there's a greater purpose for us being here? Not necessarily, no. But it doesn't mean I shouldn't make the best of this journey while I'm here. Doesn't mean I shouldn't treat other people with respect. I always find it really interesting when people will tell atheists, you can't be moral because you don't believe in God. And I go, that's just kind of weird. If the only reason I'm doing good is because I'm scared I'm going to go to hell, what is that?
That's completely true. Yes.
I want to do good and do better with people and treat them the way I want to be treated.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it is just chaos anyway. Right. I don't want to do harm to other people. And even with those scientists, it weighed heavily upon me and also on Mike as well. For years, I wanted to meet them and they wouldn't meet me. I finally did get a chance to meet the one scientist involved. And it was a nice meeting, actually, when we finally met. But it also confirmed a few things as well. So, yeah.
What is your response to people when they say the quantum particles behaving differently while being observed? What would you say to someone who says that?
I don't think we know enough about that. We haven't advanced far enough world.
We're so dumb. Yeah. We really are.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But we've been so dumb about many things through humankind's history. Right. And then we finally get there. Mm-hmm. And at some point we may get there just because it doesn't make sense to us now, or it seems like illogical, doesn't mean that it doesn't become logical when we have all the pieces of the puzzle later on.
Right.
That doesn't mean that something else is mystical.
Yeah.
And just because this one thing may be real doesn't automatically make this other thing real.
Right. It could be possible for there to be things that are information that is transmitted from one person to another, and it's a science we don't understand yet. But that doesn't mean that this particular psychic has actual abilities, just because that is in theory possible. Or I should say, it doesn't mean that it doesn't warrant skepticism to some extent. Yes. and critical thinking.
I've done hundreds of experiments offering the $1 million to people through the years, and not one of them has even come close. We had a preliminary experiment and we had the formal, and nobody's taken the money yet. Right. We always try to get it when we could with stats down to 1 in a million. People win the lottery. So just because they won the money doesn't mean that they're a genuine psychic. And just because they didn't get the money didn't mean that they weren't. But it would shine a light on that particular talent, and hopefully other people would have to verify it, like you have to do in science. But none of this stuff has ever, you just take a look at it and it doesn't work. And yeah, we can go to the quantum physics. You can take a look and you say, yeah, when it's observed, yeah, that doesn't hold water. There are so many different types of psychic phenomena. You're talking to the dead, right? Mm-hmm. You're being able to bend metal with your mind. You can actually read somebody else's mind. These are all different types of psychic abilities. Are you telling me they all fall under that? I don't think so.
Right, but that's a really good point. What does healthy skepticism look like to you? How do we maintain skepticism without being dogmatic? A guy comes up to you and says, you got to check out this psychic with amazing abilities. What is your approach in that scenario?
So when I was testing psychics, I would always go in and I really wanted to have the attitude that this is going to be the one, because I wanted to be fair to them, right? Mm. I didn't want to be negative. I didn't want to go in saying this person doesn't have these abilities. So I have an interesting switch in my head. I know it's going to be hard for a lot of people to believe, but I can switch that switch off and go, I'm going to believe that this is possible in this particular moment, but I'm also going to observe it, right? And that's the other interesting thing is, with the quantum as opposed to actually psychic abilities, it just actually hit me what your answer might be there, is those abilities are observed every day. They're observed by believers consistently,
right?
So they do show themselves when they're observed. It's just, you actually do see it.
Observed with skepticism versus without skepticism.
Yeah. But what about if you get somebody who doesn't really know, doesn't believe or disbelieve? That's not necessarily skepticism. And there's a difference between critical thinking, I think, and skepticism, right? There's a bit of a difference there. So you're telling me that if you're a critical thinker, you can't observe the phenomena? Is that what they're saying, right?
So well, the ghosts will get scared, Benacek. The ghosts don't want to show up.
The ghosts shouldn't care less, right? the information that the ghosts give you is the most ridiculous information ever. Right?
Yes.
They never tell you, oh yeah, I locked away, $1,000 in the pillow under the, right. Up in the attic. It's never anything like that. It's like, yes, I care about you. I love you and I forgive you. It's those kind of things.
Right.
Or it's, she's telling me she gave you a piece of jewelry. Your grandma gave you a piece of jewelry. Whose grandma didn't give, it's that kind of thing.
Right.
Oh, you have a scar on your right knee. You know? Who doesn't have a scar on their right knee, right?
In my case, when I have tried to use the Ouija board, because I desperately want all of this shit to be real, to be clear. Like, I want it to be real. It seems so fun
of
and
course.
Exciting and larger than life to me. But every time I try the Ouija board, it will move because that's how it's designed. But it will just say, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, what's like, it doesn't actually spell out words. But go on. My
it's never even moved for me, so I'm
it
impressed.
Doesn't?
No.
Oh, it moves every time because it's just really sensitive to the vibrations of your fingers.
Well, here's the interesting thing that we would do whenever we do an experiment. We would always do an open experiment. Now, let's say, for instance, we're doing something with water that's in a container, 12 containers, right? And you've got a dowser that's right there. We would open all the containers so they could check to make sure their dowsing rod was working. And whether it be me or whether it be Randy or whether it be any other skeptic, their ability always seems to work when they can actually see what the object is. But the moment you put the lids on and you mix them up, they can no longer find that water because you're skeptical. Well, my skepticism didn't change at all between the time that you were able to have this ability and the time that now you don't.
Right.
So we've always done an open experiment like that with every psychic, and they've always succeeded, and they always say their ability is working in front of the skeptic. So why all of a sudden doesn't it work when they can no longer see it and it's a double blind test?
Right. The skepticism just got too strong at that point.
Yep.
Yeah,
that's funny. It's a hard pill for people to swallow, I think. I mean, I know, because we don't want to believe that people would deceive us like that. Like, aside from wanting to believe in things that are bigger than us.
They're always, like, old and nice, or, like, you know, they seem so loving. And then you're like, oh, you guys are assholes? That sucks.
Yeah, or my spiritual leader.
I wouldn't go that far, because I think many of the people that are doing readings, mm-hmm. They believe in it themselves. They believe that they actually have an ability. I have a very good friend. He's been on my podcast, Banachek's Brain. And he actually, Ray Hyman, and you can go back and look at that episode. And Ray tells an interesting story. I may not get it exact, but it's, I'll paraphrase it. Ray was giving skeptic talks on tarot cards and how and why they cannot work. And there came a point where Ray was like, you know, I've been talking about this stuff, but I've never actually learned how to read tarot cards. So he got himself a system and he learned how to read tarot cards, and he started doing it for people, and he started getting feedback. And he was like, wow, maybe there's something to these tarot cards that I don't quite understand, because they seem to be telling people things and they seem to be telling them amazing things.
Right.
So he had a friend that came up and said, Ray, you know, another skeptic, another critical thinker actually, came up to him and said, hey, Ray, you know, you're a smart man. Why don't you give a reading to somebody? And when you get a really positive reading, remember that reading and give it to like the next 20 people or so. Now, Ray had a dilemma, because Ray's a really honest guy. He's like, yeah, but they're paying for a real reading and I'm using a system and I'm not going to be giving them the reading that's meant for them. But Ray went ahead and did it anyway. Ray found out that he was getting more positive feedback from the people that the reading was not meant for than the person it was meant for. Even though he got a great reading with the person it was meant for, he was getting more from those other people. And that reading was not meant for those people. So that kind of told him everything he needed to know. But it also let him know that it's very easy to be self-deceived when you're getting all this positive feedback from people.
Right.
So I wouldn't call, you know, the little lady who's reading tarot cards, or, you know, using a pendulum or reading the palm. I wouldn't call her an asshole. Because
No. I love those people. I mean,
self-deceived as well, right? Yeah.
I give all my money to those people. I fully believe in.
I wouldn't give them my money.
I fully do. I just mean, you know, the ones who are obviously lying and. Yes. Like the big stages, and it's just sad. Yep. It's really sad.
But yeah, I think that, again, a really interesting point. It's like the person in the wheelchair is a part of it, but they do not necessarily know that they are a part of a larger deception.
So and cruel.
The ways that we deceive ourselves, the psychic might not necessarily be intentionally.
The point of the deception, though, where those deceptions get and how dangerous they get. I mean, with Popoff, he was telling people to throw up pills on stage. You don't need your medications. So people are throwing up heart medications. They're throwing up, all kinds of stuff that keeps them alive.
Right.
And then Popoff leaves town and people die and he just doesn't care. He's not in town anymore. So yeah, people put a lot into the word of somebody that they believe in like that.
Yeah.
And people would leave hospitals literally on stretchers to come see the evangelist. They leave the hospital against their doctor's orders to come see an evangelist because, you know, I mean, if you've got a terminal disease, you're going to try almost anything and everything. I mean, Andy Kaufman, you know, went to the Philippines to go do psychic surgery, knowing full well that it probably wasn't going to do anything, but you just never know.
Aww.
Yeah, that John of God. I had a lot of friends that went to go see John of God,
that?
And now he's a Brazilian. Is that correct? He's a healer.
I think Brazilian. Yeah.
I can't remember quite. He was on Oprah a million things, but it's come out that he's a sexual abuser and a charlatan and just awful. So, yeah, it sucks.
So for someone who doesn't have your knowledge. You obviously know about all the different ways that people can manipulate people and make it seem like they're psychic. Do you have some like quick and dirty tips for regular Joes like us for what we can kind of look out for? Is there anything, any specific red flags?
I think the biggest red flag is when somebody has an extraordinary claim, right? That really they have the burden of proof. They have to prove that claim exists.
Mm-hmm.
And the moment somebody comes at you with some extraordinary claim, you know, don't take it at face value just because you don't understand it. When I was younger, I used to do a lot of shows for high school kids and middle-aged kids. And I would go and I would perform and I would come on stage as if I was a genuine psychic at first. And I would say, how many of you believe in this? And most of them would raise their hands because they've just seen things they can't explain. And I would say, how many of you do not believe in this? And four or five hands would go up. And I would ask them why. And they said, because my dad says it's not real. Because I read somewhere that it wasn't real. Because somebody on the radio said that this stuff isn't real. And I would say, you're right. And they would get a big smug smile on their face. And I'd say, but for the wrong reasons. Mm-hmm. You know, your dad told you. You read one article and you believe in this. But these other kids just saw something they couldn't believe. However, they're also wrong. Much smarter to be able to say, I don't know. Sometimes the person in the room that says, I don't know, I don't have enough facts, looks interesting, I'm going to check into it and find out more. That is the much better answer to give. But kids are taught from a very young age that saying I don't know means you're stupid. Mm. And it doesn't, unless you've been lazy and you haven't studied for a test, then you're being lazy. But in most instances, I don't know means you know that you're not knowledgeable in that area. You know you're not an expert, and you're going to go find where the experts are, and you're going to look at both sides of things. In this climate that we have in this age right now, people are so polarized. Like, you have your stance, and that's it. You can't have healthy debates anymore, usually, with people. And it's such a shame, because I have a group of friends that I can get with, and there's Democrats, there's Republicans, there's everything in between and on the outside. And we have great discussions and nobody gets upset. And we cover a multitude of topics. And I love being able to do that. But that's within this one little safe environment. Mm. In the real world, it's extremely difficult to do that.
Yeah.
Because people put up walls, people get angry, they take their stance, because most people, I mean, you know, think about it. You don't want to be told you're wrong about things. I don't think anybody really wants to be told straight out, you are wrong.
Yeah.
You want to come to that conclusion yourself.
Yeah. We talk about Teal Swan all the time. Do you know who she is?
No.
You're lucky.
She's a self-proclaimed.
I'm bad with names, so maybe I do.
Self-proclaimed psychic, spiritual leader, guru.
Alien.
Oh, yeah, alien.
Does she call herself an alien?
I don't remember. Yeah, she does, yeah.
Okay.
Makes lots of very wild claims. I went to one of her workshops, whatever. We talk about her constantly. But I'm imagining going to one of her shows and taking the I don't know stance. And I think that that is healthy, but maybe where it starts to become problematic is actually letting that person, taking their advice as though they're an authority on your life.
That's a different I don't know. If you're saying I don't know, so I'm going to let them in.
Right.
That's dangerous.
Right.
But if you say, I don't know, this is interesting, but let me look at all sides of this subject.
Yeah.
That's healthy, right?
Right.
Looking at it from all sides.
As opposed to being open. Healthier. Yeah, I feel like there's this idea that like you're being closed-minded if you are not, you know, listening.
Well, that's a problem when a person says they're a critical thinker. People think they're being closed-minded. It's not. It's like, I'm thinking about this critically.
Yeah.
You know, I want to look at all sides before I make a decision that's going to affect my life.
Right.
I just think they're being boring.
Wow. Shot fired.
No, I'm kidding. I'm just like, magic. It's all magic. And it's not. I know. I just like believing. So
it's so funny to me that you do this podcast with me.
Yeah. We're so different.
We have such polar opposite views on things. And even after all the stories that we've heard, it's amazing. Like, her other podcast is Superficial Magic. And
that's the name of it.
Do you want to describe what it is?
It's just a look at magic from an LA girl's point of view. Yeah,
when you say magic, though, what are you talking about? You're talking about
healers. I'm talking about quantum physics and all of that.
Healers, magic. Yeah. Tarot. Yeah.
I'm definitely going to have to take a look at that. So, yeah.
Do you have any readings on us from talking to us this time?
But I can try something with you if you want.
Yeah,
we do. I
don't know
if it's going to work or not, but I can try. Do you both have a small object?
Like how
a
small?
Ring or cap of a pen, a ring, anything like that?
I have a chapstick.
Take the cap of that off, just the cap.
Okay. I have a cap.
And I want you both. Yeah, I want you both to have something. And I can't tell what kind of chairs you're in, if you have room behind you, but can you put your hands behind, both of your hands behind your back for me?
With
the object. Now take that object and I want you to hold it. Let's see, we got a black sweater and a white sweater. Okay, that's interesting. Okay, I want you to put the object in one of your two hands and then separate those two hands. Tell me when you've done that.
Done.
All right. So I'm going to ask you some questions and you can lie or you can tell the truth. But keep in mind, if you choose the role of a liar, you're going to have to consistently lie to me. If you tell the truth, you're going to have to consistently tell me the truth.
Oh, God.
Okay.
All right. I'll give you time to think about each answer. So let's see. Lola.
Yes.
Do you have the item in your right hand?
Yes.
Let's see. It's a black sweater. Let's go with a white sweater now. Do you have the item in your right hand?
Yes.
All right. Now you can switch hands or you can keep it in the same hand. Go ahead and make that decision right now. Tell me when you're both done.
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 If you lied the first time, you need to lie to me the second time. I want consistency here. If you told me the truth the first time, I want you to tell me the truth this time as well. I want consistency. Oh, Lola, did you switch hands?
Yes.
Did you switch hands?
Yes.
Okay. So I don't know for sure. It's extremely to do this through here in this medium, but I think you both have the item in your left hands. Show me. Oh, you both have it in your right hand?
No, they're both in our left hand.
Oh, your left hand. Oh, you reversed on my screen.
Yeah. No, they're both in our left hand.
That completely threw me off. Yeah, you reversed. Right? Oh, my God. Yes. Yeah.
What the heck?
Can you tell us what you did, or is it a secret? Is it a mentalist secret?
It's a mentalist secret.
How do we get to...
Or should I tell them something? I'm asking my manager right now.
They ever try to do that to somebody?
Yeah.
Always believe what the person says.
Yeah, there we go. So for my manager, I don't know if you heard him or not.
I did,
but whenever you do this with someone, always believe what the person says.
Okay.
Always believe what they say.
Okay.
Hmm.
Interesting. Okay. Interesting. God, this is so cool.
I was going to lie.
If they're lying, believe what they say. If they're telling the truth, believe what they say, no matter what.
Interesting. Okay. Well,
Now keep in mind with what we just did.
Yeah.
I could have played that up with all kind of psychological ploys and different. The only thing I did say was black and white sweater, as if that meant something, but it really didn't. What it did was gave you a process, and it gives you something to take you off thinking about the actual method. So later you go, wait, he mentioned black sweater and white sweater. What does that have to do with this, right? Mm-hmm. If I ask you a couple of other extra questions, I can say, hey, you know, what's your favorite kind of tea? And it's just an obscure question. But you go, wait, what did that do? Did that distract me? Did that tell him something? So you frame it with this kind of stuff. So it seems like there's a purpose to those things.
Right.
Oh, it'd be hard to date you. Can you just manipulate everyone all the time?
Wait, I want to quote the Carl Sagan thing because I butchered it so hard. I just want to say it correctly. Okay, here's what it is. As an example of skeptical thinking, Sagan offers a story concerning... This is just basically talking about what he actually says in the book. This is not quoting the book. Offers a story concerning a fire-breathing dragon who lives in his garage. When he persuades a rational, open-minded visitor to meet the dragon, the visitor remarks that they are unable to see the creature. Sagan replies that he neglected to mention that she's an invisible dragon. The visitor suggests spreading flour on the floor so that the creature's footprints might be seen, which Sagan says is a good idea, but this dragon floats in the air. When the visitor considers using an infrared camera to view the creature's invisible fire, Sagan explains that her fire is heatless. He continues to counter every proposed physical test with the reason why the test will not work. Sagan concludes by asking, now what's the difference between an invisible, floating dragon who spits heatless fire and no dragon at all? If there's no way to disprove my contention, no conceivable experiment that would count against it, what does it mean to say that my dragon exists? Your inability to invalidate my hypothesis is not at all the same thing as proving it true. That is what I was getting at earlier and very poorly communicated, because I think that that is a really interesting thought experiment.
It sounds to me almost like the same thing of when people say you can't really prove a negative, right? In a way.
Yeah.
Because that now becomes the negative, right? And you can't prove it.
Right. And that's such an important thing to be thinking about, I think, in our current society filled with conspiracy theories and all kinds of just sort of crazy assertions that are at a certain point, how many mental gymnastics, like...
I think with the dragon, you now have to rule out all these other things. Is the person crazy? Are they having hallucinations? And you have to start taking a look at those things before you go, oh, maybe there actually is a real dragon there, right?
Yeah.
You take a look at the things that it possibly could be. That would make much more sense.
Right.
Well, I'm a much more suspicious person now. Thanks a lot, guys.
Have any final things to say or final ideas or thoughts or anything?
Not really. I mean, you know, I love the work that you ladies are doing. I think it's, uh, I I think it really has a purpose out there. And I'm going to point more people in the direction of your podcast.
Thanks.
So, because I really do appreciate what you're putting out there. You're coming at things like I've done through the years, but in a different way and in a different arena. And I think you're making people look at themselves a little bit as well, and about how they act and what they think and what they say, and being more aware of the things around them and their emotions, and not letting people take advantage when they're in a low moment or in an emotional moment. Right. And I think that's really important. And I think it's really, really healthy.
Aw, thank you so much.
Thank you for talking to us.
Yeah,
oh my God, this
real.
Is so cool. I'm going to come see your show someday.
I know. We were saying we want to come to Vegas and see it, because I'm sure it's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm at the Strat 6 days a week, taking mind reading to new heights. It's the Strat, get it? So we have a 4 p.m. show, so it's an early show. You can come see it, and they'll still go see one of the big boys, you know, like Cirque or something like that afterwards.
Oh, you're a big boy.
Yeah, you're a big boy.
Thank you. My podcast is Banachek's Brain, so there's that. You get me on social media under Banachek just to find out what's going on in my life. I'm always doing TV, always doing podcasts, you know, so I'm a little bit out there right now, all over the place, yeah.
Cool. Love it. Well, thanks so much for joining us, and it was great to see you again.
It's my pleasure. Great to see you. Next time you'll remember me.
I'll
remember you too. Because when I saw your picture, I was like, I know that girl. And then I saw the at, ooh, la, 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 la. You know, I was like, ah, okay. I know who that is.
I knew your name. I just didn't remember why I knew you.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Awesome. Well, again, thanks so much, and have a great day and great show if you have a show today.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I don't today, but I will tomorrow.
Awesome.
Okay. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Take care, ladies. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So,
magic and mentalism and critical thinking. Megan, have you ever been hypnotized?
I have once in my entire life. I'm not one of those people who can like go on stage and start acting like a chicken or have an orgasm or whatever. I have seen that happen. Have you seen that happen?
I have as a kid, but even as a kid, I was like, this seems like not real.
Yeah, I once got called up to do something like that, and I was just standing there frozen because I'm so shy that I'm also not going to fake that it's happening. So I just like stood there like a crazy person, and then they asked me to leave the stage. There were more people doing more fun things. I'm going to tell you this from the bottom of my fucking heart.
Okay.
I was at a mentalist's. I was getting paid to be in his audience. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He was paying people because he was making a TV show. I'm relaxed. I don't give a fuck about it. I'm not trying to be hypnotized. He hypnotizes us. I am so relaxed. My arm, he tells us there's a balloon connected to our arm, and it's just slowly going to float up and whatever. And then he's like, oh my God, it's going to the ceiling. My arm shot up. So did half the rooms so fast without any conscious decision making on my part. My body moved without me telling it to. And it scared the shit out of me.
Mm.
And I never, the whole rest of the time, nothing ever happened again. But I was just, I think I'm one of those people who wants hypnotism to work so badly that I'm like so stressed out that it's not. So I was just so relaxed and bored and like half in, half out that I literally got hypnotized.
Wow. I want to do it just to know whether it will work for me, being someone who is so skeptical, even though we were just talking about how skepticism is not the thing. Because I imagine that I would just be like, psh, yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I was. I was like, it doesn't work. And then my arm popped up in the air. It felt different than any motion I've ever taken. It was so strange, dude. And I've never, ever been hypnotized again. So,
Well, I'm not going to remember what it's called, but your body reacts and then your mind justifies why your body had that reaction. Like, we think it's the opposite, but that's like,
sure,
often how it works. So I wonder if it's just like, if you get to a certain point, like your body.
Yeah, I guess if you're relaxed enough, you can just tell your body to do things and you're not focusing on doing it and it does it.
But that doesn't mean that it's like out of your control. Like, if you're actually focusing on like, I want to have control over my own body, someone can't like take over.
No. And if somebody was like, and now go kill someone, I'd be like, no, it was a weird proof that there is something to being in a very relaxed state and being instructed, your subconscious mind.
Yeah, I want to try that. Maybe my problem is I can't relax. That's really the problem here.
That is my problem. That's my absolute problem. And then I get even worse in hypnotic situations. I'm like, relax, 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 do it. And then I'm just like, ugh. So this was like my one experience with it. Obviously, it's all about relaxation. And if you can get yourself in a relaxed state, go on the internet and hypnotize yourself because it works.
All right. I'm going to find a hypnosis expert, someone whose knowledge is based in science. That's going to happen at some point. If you guys know anyone, hit us up. And in the meantime,
come back next time. And remember to follow your gut, watch out for red flags, and never,
ever, ever
trust me.
Bye.
Bye.